Is it me or is it a little lighter in here this morning? I can see the smiling faces. You guys look good out there this morning. You know, we've all been there. Sitting at that red light and just waiting for it to change. Maybe we haven't as much recently because I think more people run red lights probably than they used to. I know one of our, Bob Logan was telling me the other day that he and Pat drove all the way across town. And in that trip from the north side to the south, they counted, I believe it was 12 times that a red light was run. So anyway, and he was only two of them. So that he wanted me to clarify that. No, he didn't say that. They were doing a count there to see others. But we've been there before, sitting at that red light, waiting for it to change, waiting for someone to take off in front of us. And then boom, finally it does change. It goes to green. And what happens sometimes? No one moves. Sometimes the car in front of you just sits there. And you'll look up at them and you notice they're probably maybe texting on a phone, or maybe they're conversing with others in their car, or something's going on to distract them, and they just sit there. The light's green, but they don't make a move. You've probably been in that situation before. I know that I have. What do we want to do? The first thing we want to do is just lay on that horn, you know, get out of the way, go. I'm on a schedule here. We want to do that. Maybe we don't do that. Probably the best way is to give them a little bit of time. But if they continue to sit there, we eventually will do at least the little tap. You know, we don't lay on it, but we want to get their attention so that they will get on and move on out of our way. You know, I think this illustration, in my opinion, is very similar to the way we deal with evangelism. And you may think, well, we're looking at Luke this morning, and we'll kind of tie that in here in just a minute. But you know, we have that green light, and that's the title of our lesson this morning. We have that green light. Sean didn't know he wore the perfect shirt to lead our singing this morning, his green shirt. But in sharing the gospel with others, we do have that green light, and sometimes we're sitting there. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we're looking around. Sometimes we're worried about other things. Sometimes we're concerned too much with what's going on in our own little world. And there are multitudes of friends, family, and co-workers who we could be sharing with. Think about that for just a minute. And when I mention these things, when I am bringing these comments this morning, I think about these personally as well. You know, there's a song that we sometimes sing or have in past years. And it says, "You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me." Sometimes when I hear those words, it's almost sickening, because isn't that so true? We go about our daily lives. We're about our daily business. We're concentrating on things. And not that the things we're concentrating on are bad. Many of them are good. Many of them are things that we need to be doing day in and day out. But we lose focus. You know, in our focus study this morning, and I encourage you, if you haven't been staying for class, stay this morning, because we're not going to spend any time in Luke. But this morning in our class, we're going to be looking at two different groups that Jesus commissioned, a group of 12 and a group of 70. To go out, the first part of chapter 9 and the first part of chapter 10. But we have received that same commission. Chuck shared us those words this morning. We have the green light. Why are we sitting? Why are we waiting? We do have the green light to teach the gospel. I want to share with you a couple of other scriptures. We read the one from Matthew there a moment ago, but we read in Mark 16, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.' We read in Luke chapter 24, 'And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.' And then we read in Acts chapter 1, 'And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.'" That's verse 8. We see these commands, we read them, and we think, well, that was in that day and time. But it goes much broader. It goes much wider than that. Who was actually receiving these commands? It would have been those apostles that had been there with Jesus. This is right before he is to ascend, right before he's to go to heaven, and he leaves this commission with them. But I think what we see in the New Testament is that disciples make disciples, and as that is passed along, so is that commission. So that brings it down to us today. We've received that because we have been taught. I am to make disciples. This is a responsibility given to me in this day, in this age. What was being taught here? Mark tells us that they're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's that good news. Luke's account tells us that this gospel message includes the preaching of repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ. And another phrase used there in the book of Acts, the apostles go out and preach Jesus, is the phrase that is used. Who were they to teach? They were to go into all the world. And if you look at the very root of that word, it means all creation. And that's still applicable today. We have that green light to go, to teach that gospel, to share that good news. But so often we're in that car. We're looking at our own business. We're taking care of our own family. We're looking to me and not to others. We neglect evangelism. And if we do that, we're neglecting a command given in the Great Commission. I think something that goes right along with this is loving neighbor as self. We have that green light. Why are we not doing that? Why are we waiting? Why are we sitting there at the light? One of the scribes asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he answered them this way: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first or foremost commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets." Everything hangs right there. Loving God, loving neighbor. We can turn to so many passages that command us as Christians to show love to others, to friend and foe alike. And I think one of the most important ways to show our love for the lost is to talk to them about Jesus. Who is that? You know someone. You have someone in your life, someone that you come in contact with on a regular basis that you know needs to hear about Jesus, needs to hear that good news. I was thinking about this and I had some folks come to my mind. There was a video that I watched, and you can look this up on YouTube like you can do everything, but I thought this was interesting. I had read about this in preparation for this lesson, and it was a video of a well-known atheist named Penn Jillette, and he's half of the magician duo of Penn and Teller. And he made it a very interesting observation about evangelism. And in this video, I want to read a quote. He says, "I don't respect people who don't proselytize. If you believe that there is a heaven or hell and that people could be going to hell or not get eternal life, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them about it?" This is coming from an atheist, remember. I don't agree with the majority of what he might agree with, but I think he's right. At times, he even sees our lack of evangelism as Christians, as baptized believers, as those who have received that good news, heard that good news, and then sometimes fail to pass that along, share it with others. We have that green light to do that. D.L. Moody was quoted, was criticized for his soul-winning methods by one man one time, in which he replied, "I like the way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." So maybe that's something to look at. There's no specific way, no specific answer. Just go out and do it. This lesson could have aptly been titled the Nike Swoosh. Just do it. But we have that green light to love neighbor as self, and one of those basic principles of that is sharing that gospel. And then the third thing, we have a green light to have faith in God and His power to save, or His power through the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's all inclusive. That's everyone. That includes you and me. And Paul showed his faith in this gospel by desiring to preach it and by actually teaching it to others. We see there in verse 15, one verse prior to what we read, Paul said that he wanted to come to Rome to preach the gospel. And his not being ashamed of the gospel was shown in his actions. That should be true for us today. Paul knew how that story could change lives. It had changed him. We can go back and read that in two different places there in the book of Acts. But you know, saying I believe really isn't enough. It's not the same as showing that we believe. James points that out to us as well. He says your faith must be active. He says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and has no works? Can the faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" We can say, "I believe." We're saved by that grace. We don't work our way into that salvation. That is a gift from God. But how do we express that faith? How do we express that belief? It's through sharing with others. James says, if you see a brother or sister in need, you tend to those needs. I want to challenge you this morning. And I want to leave you with three examples. And these are real examples that have happened. Some in this very congregation and one of them in this part of our community. And these are examples of evangelism. You think, I don't know. I don't know how to teach. I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to do that. But you do know how to talk to someone, don't you? You do know how to relate to people. You come in contact with people. Story number one. This story was shared with me just this last week about an elderly gentleman who passed away just a few days ago. And he had moved to this area a few years back from Abilene, Texas. And had spent most of his life in the Texas area and then decided to move here. And he was asked why he moved here. And he said, "Well, one of the main reasons, I have a lifelong friend who I know isn't a Christian. And I need to share with them." So one thing you can do is move hundreds of miles away to share that with someone. Story number two. A gentleman was out raking gumballs one fall afternoon in his yard, and he sees a gentleman he hasn't met before walking down the sidewalk. He hollers at him and says, "Come over here. I need some help." And he shares the gospel with him. And that gentleman becomes a Christian. Story number three. A family says, "I'm going to..." And we do this once a month. You could do it any Sunday, but we have Bring a Friend Sunday. And on that particular month, they said, "I'm going to invite our neighbor." And they did that. The family came. They were part of that worship service. They came back, continued to come. The gospel was shared with them in many different ways. The husband obeyed the gospel. And they're faithful to this day. You can do a lot of different things. You can travel a hundred of miles to share the story. You can be working in your yard, ask someone to come over. You can simply say, "Come to church." But I want to challenge you this morning to do something this week. Make it a point this week to find someone. You have that green light. That green light's been given to us. Are we setting? Sometimes we are. I know what that's like. I tend to sit in the car sometimes as well. So hopefully this has been a challenge to you. You're going to study in your class this morning about two groups that were sent out. And that's what we're talking about. We're sent out as well. Many here this morning have put on Christ through baptism. You're living that faithful Christian life, or striving to. But maybe you're struggling right now and you need prayers. We could pray for you this morning. What a wonderful thing to do on this first day of the week. or you've heard the gospel, you believe what it says. You're going to repent. That repentance is sometimes a lifelong process. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized this morning. That's the gospel story in a nutshell. That's how easy it is to share with someone. Won't you do that this week? If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?